Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
He's changed you. Amen, amen. Well, don't patty cake. If you're going to give him praise, give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah! We give you praise for the changing power of an almighty God. Hallelujah. Listen now. They've given you the announcements. We're starting our 21-day fast tomorrow. And I think we've only got about 60 people signed up. Normally we have about 200. So that tells me one of two things. Either you're where you want to be with God, which is usually a lie, or you're just content. And if you're content, then I want to evoke you out of your contentment. Now, you may say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that fast. You can do something. And if you're going to do something, I want you to sign up and say you're part of it. What do you mean, Pastor? You might not can do. You know, some people go, now listen, the first time we ever did this fast, Pastor William, he went stupid. Because the fast is, the Daniel fast is what Daniel said in chapter 10. No meat. He said, I'll eat no sweet bread. So we go sweets and bread, no meat. And he said, I'll drink no strong drink. Now, what is strong drink? Well, we're Pentecostal. You shouldn't be drinking anyway. So whatever your strong drink is, mine is soda. I drink sodas, you know, at least once a day. So that's going to be mine. Plus, I'm not going to do sweets, which Lord Jesus is, and meat. Listen, I'm a meatitarian. I eat meat every day. Those of you who are vegetarian, I just found out that vegetarian is an American Indian name, which means bad hunter. Don't check me on Google. Last year, I know what God did for me and my family. Last year, God healed, during the fast, God healed my wife from chronic migraines. Come on, go ahead. If you've ever suffered from chronic anything, you know how bad that can be. I mean, for the first time in 3 years, I still feel like I've got my wife back. My wife's back in ministry. She's back in the women's ministry. She's back helping me. Because there for a long time, she wasn't able to. But during the fast, God did that. Well, Pastor, well, why didn't he do it the first time you fasted? I don't know. But I can just tell you, he did it last year. And we could tell story after story about what God's done on this 21-day fast. So again, the way you start one season or the way you end one season will determine the way you enter another. And the way you start one season will determine how you end it. So that's why we want to give God the first of our year. So you can give up something. Well, Pastor, start where you are. You know, my daughter, and excuse her language, my daughter said yesterday we was eating pizza. We were eating stuffed crust pizza, which is not on the Daniel fast, because we start today. She said, here's her words. She says, oh, Dad. She said, you know, I'm in college. And she says, and they don't have Daniel approved food at college. Her words, not mine. She says, this fast is really going to suck. Now, I understand what she means. She means it's going to be tough. Listen, if it's not tough, then it's not a fast. Now, listen, it's not a diet. However, I always ask the Lord, throw a brother a bone. But it's not a diet. It is a fast. So fast something that you desire. I could fast broccoli for the rest of my life. Because it's no sacrifice for me. So pick something that is a sacrifice for you. Change up your routine and get involved in this fast and believe God. Believe God that He's going to do something significant in your life. Amen? Bump your neighbor and say, He's talking to you. Now look back at him and say, because I checked the list, I didn't see your name. All right? So sign up. And I know what some of you are saying. Some of you are real spiritual. Well, I don't have to sign up to be a part of that. I'm just going to do it on my own. I don't have to sign up, stand in line to sign up. I'm not going to do that. Well, do it. It tells us who's with us. It tells us who's doing it. And you know what? It gives you accountability. It gives you 2 years ago, Pastor Steve just went on to staff with us. And we were in our Daniel fast and we were over in Orlando. And so we decided, me, him, and John, we were over there at a conference and we decided we needed to go somewhere to get some Daniel approved food. So we went to Golden Corral. I never go there, but we went because I figured they had vegetables. And so we were eating and, you know, listen, don't get, I didn't finish the story, didn't I? I told you the first time we did it, William got stupid. He was eating like tofu. He was like, Pastor, everything's got, you know, breading in it. Listen, you know, I don't check packages. Well, it's got sugar in it. I can't have it. No, no. You know what a sweet is. A sweet. You know what a sweet is. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, if you don't know what it is, then you stupid. Woo, I'm starting out. The moose is about to get loose up in here. You know what a sweet is. You know what bread is. But William, he was going, man, there's nothing to eat. All I can eat is tofu. He was literally eating tofu. Uh-uh. You know what bread is. You know what sweet is. You know what meat is. I had one guy come up several years ago. He's dead now. He said, Pastor, is chicken meat? I said, I believe it is. He said, well, I told my wife that. She said it was poultry. I said, well, that's meat. I said, if that's the case, steak isn't meat, it's steak. It's beef. But anyway, so you do it. You ain't got to get legalistic with it. But our staff was over at a conference and Steve come back and he had something on his plate and I didn't recognize. I said, what is that? He said, hush puppies. I said, oh, okay. He said, what? I said, nothing. He said, what? I said, are you doing the Daniel fast? He said, yeah. He says, corn, right? I said, whatever. And then he went, man, I never thought about it. Pushed the plate away. My daughter, she was about 12 at the time, Lauren. She was younger than that, probably 10 or 12, and we was at Annette Watson's house having supper with them. And Annette makes the best cornbread this side of the Mississippi. Man, they come around and my daughter, Lauren, she looked at me, she said, Daddy, is cornbread bread? And it was the first time her doing the fast. I said, baby, that's between you and the Lord. For me, yeah, cornbread is bread. She said, okay. I said, but that's between you and the Lord. She said, okay. I didn't know what she was doing at first. Then I realized afterwards, she was talking to the Lord. Then she looked back up and said, He said it was all right. If you've never fasted, you ought to try it. Try something. Just do something. Be a part of it. And see if it doesn't change your life. See if it doesn't change your life. Go with me. Oh my goodness. That long-winded worship leader. Go with me. I'm starting a new series this morning called Unleashed. And I'm believing God for 2016 for God to be unleashed in your life. For the anointing of God, for the authority of God, for the power of God and the presence of God to be unleashed in your life. And I want to begin in Matthew chapter 28. Now you need to go along with me, hurry, because I've got a lot to give you and a short time to get there. Amen. So here's what the Bible says in Matthew 28. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, Jesus said, the truth is, anyone who believes in me, I want you to underline this, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. If you have a marker, underline. Well, Pastor, I don't like to mark up my Bible. A Bible that is tattered and torn usually defines a life that is not tattered and torn. The anointing in which you have received, you already have it, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things that is true and is not a lie and just as it has taught, you will abide in him. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I want to talk about several different aspects during the next week, a month or so, about the different aspects of the Holy Spirit that he has blessed us with, the gifts that he has given to us, and how to unleash those giftings / blessings. When I think about unleashing, I can't help but to think about our old dog that now Jillian has named Robbie. Because I would take Robbie on a jog with me, and Robbie was always at the end of his leash, ready to run. And, you know, we'd be jogging along, and he'd see a bird, and then he'd run to the end of his leash, and I would feel it tugging on the end of that leash, and what he was saying was, release me. What he was saying is, if I could get loose from this leash, I would chase that bird if you would just let me go. And from time to time, we'd be over there by the mall, I would take the leash off, and he would take off like a scalded dog and run every bird he could find until he gave himself out. Right? It's the same thing with the power of God in your life. The power of the Spirit desires to be unleashed within us and move and flow in the power of God. The power of God is in you, and it is wanting to be unleashed upon your situation, upon your life, upon every aspect of your life. But we've got to do something. We've got to release it. When I talk about unleashing it, I'm talking about releasing it. Release what God has already put inside of you. 1 John 2 and 20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth. Now, here's the truth for you. Point number one, if you are a child of God, you already have an anointing in your life. If you're a child of God, you have an anointing. Well, but Pastor Reed, I'm not really where I want to be or ought to be with the Lord. Well, you still have an anointing. In order to get it to be released, we need to get to where we ought to be with God. But you have the anointing if you're a child of God. These two verses tell us that we as believers already have the anointing from God. The anointing is not in the future, it is now. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. It is now. It's not for the elect. It's not for those who have a Bible degree. It is for those who are a child of God. You have an anointing, and it is for now. The anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from your pastor. It doesn't come from somebody else. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The anointing is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit and indwells in our heart. That's why the two verses tell us that we have the anointing within us already. The anointing is not just for the selected few. As long as we have the Holy Spirit. and that includes all believers, then we have the anointing according to the writing of the Apostle Paul, right? So this anointing of God is God's ability to fulfill the purpose that he has ordained or called each one of us to into our kingdom assignments. How can you do what God's called you to do? Only by the anointing. How can I do what I do? It's not because I'm smart or because of, don't you say amen real loud. It's not because I'm all that in a bag of chips. It's because of the anointing. And the reason that some of us have not walked into what God has for us is because we have not released our anointing. God does not create or call people into wantonness, but God calls every person into a purpose. See, now here, I want you to hear this principle. Because this hit me like a ton of bricks. I was jalking the last day of the year. And I was jalking and it hit me like a ton of bricks. That we are a people who live full lives. But we don't live purposeful lives. I want to say that again. We live filled full lives. But not purposeful lives. I mean, how many needs another thing to do on your list? Not me. I just want to get through the list I've already got. Right? I'd like to get halfway through the list I already have. Nobody needs something else to do. But the problem is it's not that our life isn't filled. Our life isn't fulfilled. Oh, I can't help nobody up in here. We're living filled lives, just not fulfilled life. Why? Because you haven't released the anointing to do what God's called you to do. Now listen to me. Because sometimes I have the advantage over you because I've been on that side, but many of you, some of you have, but not many of you have been on this side. And when I preach something like this, many people start thinking, well, he's talking about me preaching or something. No. I'm not talking about you preaching, even though we're all called to preach, and I'm going to hit that a little while later. But I am saying that you have a purpose. And what you do, instead of just doing it, ask God, Lord, what is my purpose? And listen, let me help you. Don't come ask me. Why? Because I don't know what your purpose is. I'll try to help you find it, but I don't know. But in everything that you already do, look for the purpose of why you do and what you do. Good preaching, Pastor. There's a purpose for every church. There's a purpose for every Christian. Listen, church. Maybe not everybody has discovered their purpose for or their calling in this life. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose for you in this life. We all have kingdom assignments given to us by God. All right? So those assignments, I'm going to mess with some of you. Those assignments include our workplace, where we study at, where we play at, the relationships that we have, so on and so on. Let me just tell you, God has an opinion on most stuff. Well, God doesn't. You know, here I had a pastor, Cash, I had a Church of God official tell me this one time. God doesn't care where you preach. He's just called you to preach. I said, hogwash. He was a state overseer. He was trying to get me to go somewhere else. I said, that's bull. I said, God created geography before he created people. The place where you do it is very important. The place where you live, very important. The place where you go to church, very important. The place, the people that you hang with, very important. Because sometimes God has assigned you to people, and other times the devil has assigned people to you. So you got to know who's been sent by whom. Amen? Because when the devil has assigned people to you, their assignment is to take you down. They don't even know it. Whatever we do, whatever we go, wherever our hands find to do, these are the kingdom assignments given to us by God. And it's time to embrace the fact that God blessed us with these assignments, and don't just take them for granted. But let's say, God, what do you want us to do with the assignments that I have? Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. I work at such and such a place in Ocala. Okay, good. What did God call you to do there? Surely God has intersected your lives with somebody that He wants to release the anointing. This anointing is by the grace of God. It is not by something that we earn or something that we can buy. It is totally a gift of God. So the question that we ask is what do we need to do now? The answer is we must unleash the anointing that God has placed in your life. Ask yourself every day, God, help me to unleash the anointing that's inside of me. The anointing would draw people to you. See, we think, because we're Pentecostal, we think the anointing only comes on people and we do a little shake and our eyes roll to the back of our head. That might be some results of the anointing, but that's not just the anointing. The anointing draws people to you. The anointing is you can talk with people. You know, you can operate under the unction of the Holy Ghost without having to speak in tongues. Well, he lost me right there, Myrtle. Listen, we are letting the anointing come out of our lives. Allow God in His anointing to work in our lives and work through our lives. Right? So, Pastor, what do you mean by releasing or unleashing? It means that you have to do something. To unleash, to release, means you have to do something. If you want to release water from the tap, you got to go and turn it on. Or in South Alabama, we say cut it on. You turn it on. If you want to release someone from prison, you got to go open the doors. If you got a balloon that you want to release, you got to open your hand. So what is God calling you to do? He might be calling you to get out of your comfort zone. He might be calling you to get and to do something, to go on this Daniel fast. Hey, Pastor, you just want me to go on it so you won't be the only one miserable. I know some of y'all thinking that. No, I want you to go on it so that you can release the anointing of God that He's put on your life. Because the anointing on all of us is stronger than the anointing on any one of us. Woo! Hang on a minute, I can't get no help.
Preach, preacher! I wish you would preach!
I'm trying. To unleash the anointing means you got to do something. In fact, throughout the Bible, God has always honored the faith of Him or in Him when we act on our faith. Do something. Faith without works is dead. It is in the doing that we begin to receive the blessing. Most of us want the blessing before we do, but most of us need to do to receive the blessing. We'll say things, Brother Cliff, like, well, if the Lord would give it to me, I'd give. Maybe if you'd give, God'd give it to you. Hallelujah. Let me rephrase that. Not maybe, He would. I tell you what, you know, I love those people. If I won the lottery, Pastor, I'd tithe. You little liar. You can't tithe on $10. You sure can't tithe on $1 million. You start writing that check out, because $1 million would be $100,000. Whoa, wait a minute. That'd pay my house off. Church, $100. That's right. That's why I'm tithe. No, you can't multiply either, can you? Subtract or divide. Jesus is in the doing. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus, oh, I'm going to mess somebody up here. Jesus prays a lot. Sometimes Jesus would pray throughout the whole night. But Jesus demonstrated the works of God in the doing where he went about doing God's business. So we've got to do. So go and do something. Jesus said, go, not come. Go. How often do we come to church and we get and we get and we get and we get and we get, but when we go out, we don't give? You come to get so that you can give. Good preaching, Pastor. Go and do something about it. Take the initiative. Be on the offensive. Don't take just the defensive. Hell will not prevail against you when you go. When you are doing something for God, hell cannot prevail against you. The problem is we feel like if we don't mess with the devil won't mess with us. That's a lie from the very pit of hell. We must get outside the confines of our comfort zone and go out into the real world and real lost and release the anointing to win the lost. All right. Let me give you. I got 10 minutes and 5 points. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, hang on. All right. Number one is this. Let me give you 5 ways to release the anointing. Number one, go and walk. Go and walk. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, here's what the Bible says. Mark 1, 21 through 27. Jesus walked into the territory, was teaching. Demons screamed, and Jesus cast them out. Everywhere you walk, claim that territory for God. Everywhere you walk. I don't care. You might feel like you work in hell. But when you walk in there in the morning, you walk in there in the name of Jesus. I claim this territory for the kingdom of God. I claim it. This is God's territory. Devil, you have run too much roughshod in this place long enough, and I'm running you out in the name of Jesus. Now, let me help some of you. Some of you real spiritual Pentecostals. Don't walk around. And everybody around you, they're going to label you as stupid. If you want to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray silently. Because the God isn't deaf. Just pray silently in the name of Jesus. So, God help me. So many times we mess people up by our own ignorance. Everybody don't know something about tongues. I see something on Facebook, and this woman was just speaking in tongues. And that guy said, lady, I don't understand what you're saying. I had a guy that went to church here. His supervisor was getting on to him, and he started speaking in tongues. And the supervisor said, shut that crap up. He come told me, can you believe that, Pastor? I can't believe God didn't strike him dead. And I said, I can't believe God didn't strike you dead for being stupid. Now, do you think he released the anointing to that supervisor? Mm-mm. Go and walk. We're asked to go into the world to cast out demons. Jesus said, go into the entire world, preach the gospel, for in my name they shall cast out demons. You pushing on me, Sean. I ain't ready to go to number 2 yet. We're called to bring territory into the enemy's territory. We're called to bring territory, the enemy's territory into God's territory. Can you say amen? Isn't it ironic to see many Christians are afraid of the devil? It's amazing. God told us to go into the world and cast out the devil, but we're so afraid of the devil. Well, bless God, I ain't afraid of the devil. Then you come against somebody demon possessed and you're like scared to death. Woo! You have somebody who is demon possessed. You have them being prayed for in church. The next thing you know, the church clears out. Oh my God, let's get out of here. My God. My God. It might jump on us. It might jump on us. We better get up out of here. I have the blood of Jesus applied to my life. There ain't no devil in hell that can inhabit me because I'm inhabited by the presence of the King. Hey, help me, good Lord Jesus. I don't know if I'm going to get through. We think that if we don't disturb the devil, he won't disturb us. It's a lie and a deception. We carry the anointing everywhere we go. When we walk, the anointing follows us. you are the light of the world. Let it shine for all. Jesus said, you are the light. Listen, I walked up the other day. I walked up into an office, and I'd been there, and most of the guys in there, well, it was a dealership. Most of the guys know me there. And I'd been out, and I walked back in. And when I walked in, I knew. I knew something. Because they all just quit talking. And they said, I forget what they said. They said one of them, and I said, what y'all talking about? And everybody started laughing. They said, oh, Pastor, you don't want to hear what we're talking about. I said, sure I do. So they told me what they were talking about, and they thought I was going to be embarrassed and all that stuff. And I gave them the Word of God. And here's what one of them said. The Word of God says that? Here's what they said. They said, I can't believe you say that. I was like, I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. And they went, the Word of God says that? I said, yes, the Word of God says that. You ought to read it sometime. And they went, wow, I need to read the Word. Amen. See, listen, you don't have to be afraid. You carry the anointing. God has now come out of the temples made of buildings into temples that can walk. And that is you and me. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? So God wants to unleash the anointing by going and walking. He also wants you to go and talk. Open up your mouth. But listen, don't speak in King James Version. Most people don't know King James Version. Well, thouth, the Lordeth, which saith unto theeth. Luke 9:60 says, let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God. Go and talk. Go and speak. You're all preachers. You know, here's what I get this sometimes. I get this. I really like the way you preach because you kind of break it down to everyday language. Duh. And then I get this every once in a while too. I don't like the way you preach. You're not deep enough. Well, I'm sorry. I get this sometimes. You just say whatever comes to your mind. I was like, well, yeah, guilty as charged. Sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking until I say it. But go and talk. You ought to go and open up your mouth and be full of the Word, that when you speak, it's just the Word. I didn't have to wonder when they were talking about this certain subject. I didn't go, Lord. I didn't go, hang on a minute. Lord, oh Jesus, what would you have me to say to this group of people? Lord, let your Word just go forth and flow. Yes, yea, yeah, oh, ah. They ask a question, and the Word was right there, and I just gave them the Word. I didn't tell them it was the Word at first. I just said, well, here's what the Bible says. And they said, the Bible says that? I said, yeah. You'd be surprised what the Bible says. You ought to read it during this time when you're fasting. Do you know that everybody can preach? And God has given to us the task of reconciling people to Him. So now we know that everyone has the task of rescuing people. It is not just the pastors of the church's role to rescue people from hell. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to whomever we come before that we can speak a word in due season to him that is weary. That we ought to be able to speak the word. But I don't know how to win somebody to the Lord. Then get with a pastor and teach and let them teach you how to go through the ABCs of salvation. Real simple. All right, everyone has a tongue. Stick it out. Yep, everybody's got one. We either use it for good or for evil. So now use it for good. All right? How do we unleash the anointing into our lives? We go and we preach. We go and we speak. We go and we walk. We go and we talk. Number three, we go and see. As we go and walk all over the world, we are asked to see with the eyes of God. Now we look with the eyes of God and not through the eyes of man. Here's what Psalms 91:8 says. You will only look with your eyes and see the destruction of the wicked. It seems impossible, but it's true. Let us begin to see with the eyes of the Lord. I hit this a little bit on Wednesday night, that we need to see people through the lens of redemption. Don't be impatient with the Lord to act. Travel instead along the path, church, that God gives you. Let us honor Him. Here's what He said. He said, if you'll honor Him, He'll give you the land that you see, which the wicked now possess. See, instead of just seeing wickedness, don't you see people the way God sees them? Because I hate to bust your bubble. You used to be one of those people. I used to be one of those people. Amen? See that God is on your side. And see the destruction the devil and his bondages will bring. You got to look at it. Don't look at them at that, well, bless God, they got what they deserved. How many times you wanted to say that? Bunch. Well, bless God, they finally got what they deserved. Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserve? All right, number four, go and touch. Wait, preacher. Yeah, how do you release the anointing touch? See, we believe in laying on the hands. We lay hands on people. We believe in touching. But touching is powerful. Touching is powerful. And you know, I know some people who are very careful about who they let touch them. There are people in this church who won't let nobody else pray for them but me. Then there are some folks in this church who won't let me pray for them. They only let Bobby pray for them. And I'm cool with that. But you understand what I'm saying? Touching is a part of releasing the anointing. Matthew 16:18 says, to lay hands on the sick. The anointing flows through touch. I remember when I first got here in 1993. I hadn't been here long and a woman asked me to go see her son. And I went in to see her son. And it was 93, remember? And it was the first time as a pastor I ever dealt with AIDS. And when I was going to see him, she said, now he has AIDS. Full-blown AIDS. And I went, Lord Jesus God. And so we didn't know as much as we do now about the disease. And when I went in, you had to gear up. I mean, man, face mask, gloves, gown, everything, disinfectant. And I'm in there and I don't know much about it. And here's what he says. Pastor, you don't need all that. And I thought to myself, whatever. But then I realized what he needed. And so secretly, I'm taking this stuff off and I'm praying. In the name of Jesus, I bind every disease and sickness. It will not have any effect on me. I took my gloves off and I took him by the hand. And I began to pray with him. And before I left that room, he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. He died about 4 weeks later and I preached his funeral. But today he's in heaven. Now, could it have happened if I had not have touched him? I don't know. But I want you to know that God has called us to go out and touch. He's called us to go and touch people. I mean, do you know what it means when people just come up and put their hand? You know, it's something. We shake hands. We touch. That's something that we do, right? Because it means something when we touch. And let me just tell you something, young men. And you know, when you're a young man, don't be old limp-wristed, handshaking, fist-shaking junk. A real man don't like that. How you doing? Put your little fingers in there. Little handshake, little. No, firm. Don't try to put me to the floor, but give me a firm handshake. It says something about you. I mean, how many of you have ever shook hands like this? Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to kiss your hand? What you trying? What? Little punk? Well, that offends me. Now, that'd be plenty of other times through the year. Don't get offended on that. Touch is an act of belief. But Pastor, I gotta hurry. But Pastor, I prayed for this person and they died. Well, it happens. You are not the healer. You are not the healer. It is your job to touch and believe. It is your job to lay hands and believe. Pastor, what do? When you pray for somebody and they die, you say, next. I prayed for my oldest brother. He died. I prayed for my other brother. He died. I'm praying for my sister now, and I'm believing she won't die. But what if she does? Next. Why? I'm not the healer. It is my job to lay hands on the sick and believe. Part of that belief is touching. People having trouble? Try this. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. Ask God. Pray. Lord, fill this emptiness. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Lord, you know, whatever they just told you they need. Is there something about the power of touch? And then you come into agreement. The Bible says one can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. The Word of God said if two agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Release the anointing in you. Let me say this. I was a young preacher. I've been preaching for about a year. And when I say that, I was my first year. So I'd only preached 3 times in a year. And I was talking with another preacher, and I said, you know, nobody's got filled with the Holy Ghost since I've been preaching. He said, have you asked anybody if they needed the Holy Ghost? Well, no. He said, duh. Maybe why don't you ask them? You know, if you feel so inclined, hey, could I have a word of prayer with you? What do you need from the Lord? Most people, not now, some people won't, but most people will always let you pray with them. Even if they don't believe. If they're Catholic, you know, we had a lady here in the church that was Catholic and you go, well, I'm not going to pray. She would come up and she'd go, Pastor, would you pray for me? I was like, absolutely. And she took her rosary beads out. And I could have got offended, go, what are you doing with that? You pray the way you pray, I'm going to pray the way I pray. Right? Don't get too so uptight. Jesus isn't as uptight as some of us are. All right, I have no idea where I'm at. Now help me out. So, touch is an act of belief. The anointing of God. You know how your mind works? When I first saw underwater, I seen underwear. The anointing of God is like underwear. I don't know how I worked that in there. So I tell you, whatever comes to my mind is what I say. That's what I saw when I saw it. All right, the anointing of God is like an underwater shark display tunnel. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you go to those tunnels and you walk through and there's danger all around you, but you're protected. There's sharks in there that bite your nose off, but they can't get to you because you're protected. The anointing. Walk in that anointing. Walk in that anointing. Release the anointing. Release the anointing. I don't walk around fearful. I don't walk around always upset. I'm gonna walk around under the. I'm gonna walk around under this underwater shark display tunnel. I'm walking around under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Now let me get one other thing. Come on. What's my next one? Number 5. Go and believe. Go and believe. Well, Pastor, I don't believe. I got good news for you. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Romans 10:17. All right? So while you're fasting this next 21 days, try reading your Bible. Listen, I'm not telling you got to go do become a theologian in 21. Just read your Bible. Read a scripture. You'd be surprised at how hard reading a scripture is for some people. And it's so easy. Every morning, I wake up, first thing I do is grab my cell phone. And I open it up. And I have it programmed that my devotion comes up first thing in the morning. And I usually read my devotion right there. Read my devotion, read a few scriptures, spend a few moments with the Lord. before I get my day started. Why? Because I want to start my day right so that my day will end right. Come on, somebody. All right. We're not just going, we're believing. The question is, do you believe in Jesus? Well, of course I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. Then why aren't you doing what Jesus said do? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind see and the downtrodden will be freed from their oppression, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. If you say you're a believer, then let's really believe God for greater works. If you're a believer, let's believe in 2016, I'm taking the limits off of God. I'm releasing and unleashing the anointing of God in my own life. And now, come on, help me so I'll quit. Do you want to release the anointing? And that's a fair question. Because here's what you got to ask. What's it going to cost me? Because every choice has a price tag. What's it going to cost me? What's going to cost you to have a relationship with Christ? If you want the anointing released in your life, then you've got to have a relationship with Christ. How can you give what you don't have? How can you give what you don't have? What's my next one, Sean? Help me out. Sorry, you finish up. Begin to go and do the works of a believer. Of a believer. You ain't got to be fanatical to do that. But you do have to be sensitive. God, what do you want? Give me that opportunity today. And wherever you go, just know you're walking in the anointing. Walk in the anointing. Touch, go, speak, release, believe the anointing in your own life. Come on, stand to your feet. I know I've already went over. I'm like 10 minutes over already. If you want the anointing to be released in your life, come on, lift your hand right now. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. I really want the anointing unleashed in my life. Now God sees your hand. Now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What tangible thing can you do about it? One thing, you can seek Him. One thing, you can Go sign up for the Daniel fast. Go sign up. I'm going to do something. I want God to release your anointing in my life. So Father, you see the hands. And in the name of Jesus, I ask you in 2016 to unleash the anointing in your church. Not inside the church, but outside the church more than inside. Because we affect more people outside the church than we do inside. I want your anointing released on the inside, but mainly, God, for outside. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.